You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome again to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. If this is your first time here, welcome. And I will be opening the chat room in just a second for those who are looking for the chat room. If you're not familiar with the show, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. All right, now, if you want to call in and join us, area code 909-265-9189 if you want to just call in and listen. If you, you know, want to participate, send us an email, bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. And like I said, the chat room will be open in just a second. So you can send your comments or questions there. If you missed our last program, we had Harry Lennox versus Lee Daniels. Actor Lance Gross had an open letter in response to the killing of Trayvon Martin. Of course, it was the verdict. Of course, the killing of Trayvon Martin, the George Zimmerman trial. We had a preview of Eddie Murphy's Red Light song and Daniel and Kai and Finesse and all of that good stuff and some more news in the world of entertainment. All right, that was on the last show. So you can check it out in the archives. That's www.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC if you want to check out that show. Now, on this program, actress Ray Dawn Chong versus Oprah Winfrey. She had an interesting week of making some statements about Oprah. We have Timbaland, I'll talk about that in the opening. Timbaland and Carrie Hilson teamed up to create an apology song for Jay-Z and Beyonce, which was kind of interesting. And in our interesting story of the person who commits the most black-on-black crimes probably in America, Tavis Smiley is president-hating again on Twitter after the president made his statements concerning the verdict. So we'll talk about that. Again, we have the world of entertainment news, the world of news and entertainment. So thanks for joining in, and thank you for listening. We're almost on our year anniversary of Black on Black Crime, so I just want to thank you for tuning in and being a part of the program. Now, with that being said, let's go to our first story in the world of entertainment news, I guess I can call it that. I wanted to talk about Lauryn Hill first, but I'll just say this. Over the weekend, the Coast Guard says that singer Kelly Rowland was amongst the passengers on a private boat escorted back from Cape Cod, and the captain became disoriented. So I guess their boat was kind of in some trouble, and they reportedly is safe now. But singer Kelly Rowland was on that boat. Now, Lauryn Hill released a statement to her fans thanking them for their support and to let people know what's going on with her inside a federal prison. If you don't know, Lauryn Hill has to serve some time she's in prison for a tax issue. She said, "I have known since very young to look for the purpose and lesson in everything, including the trials. Although it's taken some adjustment, I cannot deny the favor that I have encountered while in here and general warm reception from the community of people who, despite their circumstances, have found a unique way to make the best of them." Now, she said, "Thank you for the letters of concern and well wishes that I received in the mail every day, although I may not be able to write everyone back, please know that they have been received, read, acknowledged, and appreciated. Love, MLH. That was from Lauren Hill, who is in federal custody at the moment. Now, Timbaland and songwriter Carrie Hilson has teamed up to pen an apology song for Jay-Z and Beyonce for Timbaland's Shock Value 3. I guess this is the name of his new CD that's coming out. Now, Hilson, who I guess she will be pleading her case to Beyonce for her lyrics in this 2008 song, Turning Me On. Now, Hilson denies that there were any subliminal lyrics about Beyonce, but the song says she can sing but needs to move to the left. She needs to go have some babies, needs to sit down. She's fading. Go ahead and tell them, folks, how long I've been writing your songs. I've been putting you on. Just check the credits is what it says in those lyrics of that Carrie Hilson song. So she said it wasn't about Beyonce. And Timbaland also explains his fallout and what happened with Jay-Z and him and about how it was personal. It had nothing to do with business. But he explains this on a YouTube video, which I thought was pretty interesting. So since that wasn't a black-on-black crime, we did not put it on the menu for black-on-black crime. But we did have it on the slate for just to talk about. I wanted to acknowledge that because that is kind of big that he would actually go out of it. I shouldn't say go out of his way, but he would actually come out and say, hey, here's something that we that's been misunderstood, or here's something that's happened, and they're actually doing an official apology. You see people write songs every day about folks that they like or dislike, and never too many apology songs, so I just thought that was pretty interesting. I want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can join in the call us 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Now, there were protest marches in 100 cities over the weekend after, I would like to say, the joke of a Zimmerman verdict and the Zimmerman trial, and possibly jury tampering is what's now being reported. Now, Stevie Wonder, if you've kept up, Stevie Wonder, Eddie Levert, gospel singers Mary Mary, and singer Stephanie Mills have all agreed to boycott the state of Florida in response to the verdict. Now, WFTV, which is, I guess, the state of Florida's TV, is reporting that jurors were left unsupervised for long periods of time, speaking with friends and relatives who had access to the outside media during the trial. So experts say that this could amount to jury tampering, which may have influenced the verdict. And to say all of that, to not acknowledge that the woman who was writing the book the next day probably talked about the trial to her husband, who was an attorney in Florida. Just wanted to put that out there. No harm, no foul. Now, a vast majority of, well, let me put it this way. I was reading this article in Shadow and Act, just in case you guys don't know what that is. It's a blog, movie blog, pretty good blog, but I check them out every now and then. And it had an article that said the vast majority of white people don't like black movies because they lack empathy necessary to identify with black characters, and which affects their ability to suspend disbelief and to surrender to the narrative of black films. Now, this wasn't their perspective. This was written by some researchers, and so they're just reporting the story. Now, what has been called racial empathy gap in various sociological studies, one bit of research was conducted by the University of Milano Bicocca and the University of Toronto at Scarborough, which have revealed that the human brain fires differently when dealing with people outside one's own race. The study found that the degree of mental activity when white participants were watching non-white men perform a task was significantly lower than when watching people of their own race perform the same task. Now, in other words, people who were less likely to mentally stimulate the actions of another race than the same race. So I don't know what that means, but it was just pretty much one of those studies that came out. And in lack of the jurors not having empathy, I just thought, what an interesting study while I was at it. Now, just wanted to share those few stories at the beginning of the program. Again, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. That is 909-265-9189. We do have a caller on. Welcome to Black on Black Crime.
Hey, Jerome. It's Lavinia. How you doing?
Hey, Lavinia. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good. I know you probably had a lot to add in on those, on a couple of those stories. First, the Lauryn Hill, I would say. That's not a black-on-black crime that she actually came out. So I just had to do some news stories first. There was no black-on-black crime.
No, just God bless her. I hope she comes through this fine. Keep her in your thoughts.
Yeah. All I say is that if the Dolce and Gabbana guy can get away with not reporting $1 billion and do no jail time, I think Lauryn Hill, no harm, no foul. Like, she doesn't have that kind of money.
You would think, but
I was just saying, like, we treat really rich people differently than people who everybody wants to make an example of. So if you're an entertainer and you do something, your butt's going to jail because you need to be made an example of, but really rich people don't go to jail for such things. Or even
they
if you look at, even if you look at
the jailers is like a big business anyway. So the people with the money, they ain't going to put themselves in there. Come on now.
Oh, well, they're not going to work like that. It's like, that's hard work. If I go to jail, I'm about to work? Are you crazy? Now, like, for example, if you look at the case of, oh, gosh, who was it? Paris Hilton and Charlie Sheen caught with cocaine in Vegas and did no time. They got community service. Now, it's automatic sentencing in Vegas if you caught with drugs. They don't really play that in Vegas. Paris Hilton and Charlie Sheen caught with drugs. Last year and the year before, no jail time. Mm-hmm. They were just like, okay, we'll talk to kids. And I'm like, what you going to talk to them about? It's crazy to me. I'm sorry. That was just to my amusement.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. All you can say is make money so you can stay out of jail and do what you want.
That's the lesson that's being taught.
It's not even who you know anymore. It's how much money you have.
Right, because the empathy's not there. If you're poor, like if you don't have the money, but when you're wealthy, it's like it's going to cost us more to protect their safety in jail, so why put them in jail? Like they make reasons, excuses why they shouldn't be there. And they're all really strange and silly, but I just thought that was kind of interesting. It was weird.
Well, I was just going to say, we know what the deal is.
Oh,
it's strange,
of course
but
we do.
It's the world we live in. I mean,
it's strange.
You try to fight it, but how can you?
Hey, it's strange, but this is why, you know, we get to make light of it, because I think it's just stories that everybody else pretty much want to miss.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what's really happening, so we just wanted to put that out there. By the way, you know what our topics are today.
Uh-huh.
We're going to start off the show. I'm going to take a quick break, but we're going to start off the show and talk about Tavis Smiley. I was going to have a topic called Negro of the Week, but I just thought that was just too mean. No, I have to, because I have to talk about what the president said about Trayvon Martin, and his response to that was just kind of sick, and I don't know why anybody picks this stuff up, like, nationally. So it's really interesting that, matter of fact,
How about instead of the Negro of the Week, because that doesn't sound very nice, why don't you give a weekly Uncle Ruckus of the Week award?
Well, it's kind of the same, because you know what Uncle Ruckus is. So I'll call it, we're going to be on Uncle Ruckus Watch. How about that?
There we go.
This will be Uncle Ruckus Watch.
Watch and observe.
Yeah.
Do not get out and do
in
anything,
what?
But observe. I said, don't do anything, just observe.
Right. This is Uncle. Okay, so now Thanks for renaming this for me. Uncle Ruckus Watts will be under our spotlight as Tavis Smiley. our first featured, what do you want to call this? Person for Uncle Ruckus Watts. Thank you. That doesn't seem as mean, does it?
It's not as bad. No. Yeah. We'll stick with that.
We'll go with that.
Uncle Ruckus, because we all know who Uncle Ruckus is.
Yes.
Congratulations, Tavis.
Hey. Oh, that's right. We probably should.
He's the first one.
We're going to pull out the drinks for this one. This is a celebratory. Uncle Ruckus Watch. We had it. All right.
Yeah.
So.
It smells like lemon first,
Yeah, for our first Uncle Ruckus Watch, we're going to come back and talk about Tavis' comments about the president. And should be pretty interesting, I think. Not sure if it's going to be interesting to anybody. But Uncle Ruckus Watch coming up. So, and thanks for joining us. You listen to Black on Black Crime on Essence Radio. Lavinia's here. But we'll be back after.
Many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We've got to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation. Ah, that's a good one. Get up and dance, baby. If you're driving, pull over to the shoulder. If you're at work, yeah, time to violate the employee handbook. See, movement is just one of the ways to help fight osteoarthritis pain. Another is weight loss. You get rid of just 1 pound, that's 4 pounds of pressure off each knee. For more information on managing pain, visit fightarthritispain.org, baby. This message is brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Up. A short word that's a tall order. Stand up. Get up. Step up. Up demands that you rise to the challenge. Up your game. Up the ante. And if you stumble, you get back up. Then raise yourself higher than before. It's not easy. And not everyone is up to it. That is, up to up. But we are. Because we're in the business of up. Every day, Delta flies a quarter of a million people to 330 destinations worldwide, while investing billions of dollars, improving everything from booking to baggage claim. We're raising the bar on flying. You could say we're upping up. And tomorrow, we will up it yet again.
Who's the biggest Mitch on the show?
Who's the biggest Mitch on the show?
You can call him Mitch. You can call him Kevin.
Robin Thicke.
Walking around, moving his hair all the time.
I'm a sexy Mitch.
Kevin Boris, Robin, all of them. Give me my lotion.
It rhymes with Kevin Tart.
Where's my mousse? Mitch's.
The fakest reality show ever.
Be good!
Real Husbands of Hollywood, only on BET. Nobody's got you like we got you.
Hey, Brian, can I have some wheat thins?
What?
Can I have some wheat thins?
They're wheat thins.
That's what I said, wheat thins.
Wheat thins.
Wheat thins.
Wheat thins.
Wheat thins.
Why are you putting so much emphasis on the H?
What are you talking about? I'm just saying wheat thins.
Say wheat.
Wheat.
Now say wheat thins.
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 No, you can't have any.
Have any what? Have any wheat thins?
It's wheat thins.
Wheat thins.
Wheat thins.
Can I be in your commercial?
No!
It's our thing. We're doing it.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. Lavinia is hanging out, and Kai and Daniel are coming on soon. But, hey, and who knows where Finesse is. Finesse may not want to talk about his boy, Tavis. Lavinia, our new segment is called, what is it?
Uncle Ruckus Watch.
Okay. Our Uncle Ruckus Watch spotlight goes to Travis. Travis Smiley. Is that a black or black writer? I can't pronounce his name.
Freudian slip, no. Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's pass.
Well, thank you. You know, I don't usually get a chance to pass now. That's just my thing. All right. So Travis Smiley commented about the president on Twitter over his comments about Trayvon Martin. Now, if you didn't hear, the president said the African-American community is looking at this through a set of experiences in history that doesn't go away. He said there are very few African-American men in this country who haven't had the experience of being followed when they were shopping in a department store. That includes me. And the president said he kind of spoke of hearing car doors locked when he crossed the street and watching women, I think he said young women, clutch their purses close to them as they had saw a sight of a black man in an elevator. Now, he said, when you think about why in the African-American community, at least there's a lot of playing around what happened here. He said, I think it's important to recognize that African-American community is looking at this issue through a set of experiences and history that doesn't go away, is what he said. So, and he also said if Trayvon Martin, most people think that if Trayvon Martin was of age and arm, could he have stood his ground on the sidewalk, is what he asked. And he said if the answer to that question is at least ambiguous, then it seems to me that we should examine those laws. Now, Tavis Smiley tweeted that it took the POTUS almost a week to show up and express mild outrage, and still it was weak as pre-sweetened Kool-Aid, is what Tavis said. All right, Lavinia.
Does he expect the president to come rushing? Didn't he expect him to come out there Saturday night with a pitchfork in hand and a burning effigy screaming about, like, what does he expect from the man, really?
Considering
his office, he has to approach it a certain way. He can't just come all half-cocked and crazy and then expect it to be, you know, productive or even effective.
Thinking the same thing. Like what is he thinking about to say that the president isn't acting in a way that he should? Like, what does Tavis do that he could actually make that comment? I'm just asking.
Well, what did he do besides being on Twitter? Well, maybe if the president went on Twitter, he'd be happy. Maybe he should have tweeted Saturday night. Like, this is jacked up, really. What?
I don't know. All I can say is that my initial reaction was to commit a bunch of black-on-black crimes to Tavis, but I just didn't want to do it.
Don't do it, man.
I know. I'm trying with all my strength. But the problem is that it seems kind of sad that your claim to fame is, you know, bashing the president because he is black. It's the point of the program, by the way. Over criticizing and analyzing black people in areas you won't do anyone else. But that's a part of the media problem, too, is that he gets more attention because the president is black. So in general media, they say one of the president's staunchest critics, like, he's not even a critic. He's a hater. Like, he just hates the president. So you can put him in with Pat Buchanan as far as I care. Now,
yeah, it seems like there's really nothing that the president can do that will make this man happy. Nothing.
Well, and the point is, why should he make you happy? Like, that's the point. Like, you're not president, so you can't just arbitrarily just say stuff thinking, hey, you know what, I just want to put this out there so that we can have a decent conversation about the president. I guess he wants to be a newsman, is what he wants to be. I think. I don't know what his goal is.
Wait a second. Repeat that tweet again.
Okay.
What did he say?
Took the POTUS almost a week to show up and express mild outrage, and still, it was as weak as pre-sweetened Kool-Aid. That was his quote.
As weak as pre-sweetened Kool-Aid.
Right.
Trying to quite understand, because pre-sweetened is already sweetened. Okay, yeah, I don't get the analogy. That's kind of strong, because if you add more sugar to it, it's going to be even stronger. I'm done. Okay, he gave me a headache. I'm over that.
Oh, but it's worse than that, because think about it this way. He used the pre-sweetened Kool-Aid as a black metaphor that just didn't work. So he was actually trying to relate to black people about how mad he was, not really the white folks, although he was talking to white folks. Now, isn't that bad? Now, they get
worse. Oh, why? Because the Kool-Aid? Oh, so he don't want to bring me. So what's up with the Kool-Aid, Tavis?
Exactly.
Huh?
That's exactly my point. So he made a Kool-Aid reference.
He made a Kool-Aid reference.
Tavis don't know.
Wow.
He don't know. He was watching too much Friday. That's all that was. He was watching Friday. That's all I can equate that to. Now there was a bunch of backlash on this, by the way, on Twitter. Now, one came from the MSNBC's Angela Rye. Like, I don't know who she is, but she wrote, "I'm sending you a transcript as you clearly misunderstood the speech, brother," is what she wrote. And I don't even know who she is, but she was at least a little classy in her response. And another response was, Smiley, it's time to move on. And they said his panties are in a bunch because the president hasn't kissed the ring. But Tavis don't have a ring. Like, he don't have anything you need to kiss up to. So he needs a ring so that somebody can kiss the ring. But Tavis don't really have any followers. It's not that serious for him.
He needs to stop. He needs to really stop. Like, if with everything that comes out, I mean, he'll say something 1 minute that you're like, okay, because I guess he went toe-to-toe with, that fool on Fox News? Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like on the 1 minute you'll say things that make sense, and then the next minute, as soon as the president opens his mouth, you just go stupid.
You know, but there's been this thing throughout history that some black folks have found it beneficial or even profitable to bash other black people. So I'm never surprised at this, just to say that I don't know who's paying him, but apparently whoever is paying him enjoys the fact that he's saying what he's saying. That has to be my... I'm only guessing, because it makes no sense why he would do that.
It doesn't.
But to anybody
who's saying, I didn't see anything wrong with what the president said at all. He was clear.
And you know who else did?
He made sense. I mean, really, he's not going to be. Now, what if he did come out there acting crazy? Then Tavis would be mad, talking about, now you got to be the angry black man yelling
at
America.
Now you
got
to be classy. That ain't in line with the president. Yeah. I'm sorry, that was my Tavis.
That was really good.
All right, so.
No, it wasn't.
I know it wasn't. But, you know, I could do Tavis, because Tavis is just kind of, he rants, right? And so his whole thing of running his words together to not make sense just shows that his thoughts aren't clear. I mean, people who normally speak fast usually just have a lot of thoughts, but I think his thing is always covering to try to sound educated, I think is probably how I have to take it. So when he was on Tom Joyner, his whole thing, and my whole experience of watching Travis, that's what I was going to say again.
Whatever, is
from the Million Man March. So when I went to the Million Man March, I watched everything, like, leading up to it weeks, months before. But about 2 weeks before, Tavis goes in split screen with Roy Ennis, who we're going to talk about. We have some news in the movie news sense that They were looking for civil rights leaders, and Roy Ennis was one of the people who they picked, which I thought was odd. But anyway, so Tavis goes on split screen. It says, ain't nobody really in the Nation of Islam. They only have a reported 5,000 members. Nobody's going to turn out. So when you see the Million Man March come and it's only going to be about 5,000 people there, then we're going to know that Mr. Farrakhan don't really have the power to draw that kind of people. Do you know what happened right after Million Man March? He started working for Tom Joyner. Because my boy, the guy who I like, Malloy, what is his name? I forgot who used to do commentary before Tavis came, but he came after Courtland Malloy was on Tom Joyner's show, but he left. And so they brought him in, and the first thing that came out of Tavis' commentary was, where did we go from here? Like, he was supporting the Million Man March before, but when he was on ABC News on Nightline.
Where did you jump on the bus? Exactly.
He jumped right after. Right after it was over, he jumped on the bus, probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks after it happened. So once, you know, and again, historic record, I would tell anybody, check D.C. Transit. They released the numbers that day. I was in D.C., and on the news, they said they sold 1.2 million tickets on the three stops of the mall that day, and all the offices and stuff were closed. So if you want to know, at least 1.2 million, 1.3 million tickets, they made that much money. So the estimated 40,000 buses and the people who marched over from Howard and all of those places, don't even count those people. 1.3 million tickets were sold at those three stops. So Tavis, on the other hand, was just saying nobody's going to show and blah, blah, blah. But he got his fame off of black people trying to get us together after trying to say that we can't do jack. That's the moral of that story. So he rambled. But in presidential news, just going back to that, somebody who was happy that the president spoke about Trayvon Martin was Trayvon Martin's parents. Now, their response to the president's note said that the president made a beautiful tribute to their boy is a quote, beautiful tribute to their boy, and shared that they were honored and moved by his words. So the parents of Trayvon Martin was happy, so forget our Uncle Ruckus Watch spotlight. Smiley.
That fool.
Now, although the verdict, I shouldn't say although, it was a week ago, Questlove, the drummer of The Roots, the hip-hop collective, the band The Roots, and the late-night band for Jimmy Fallon, had vented his frustration with the George Zimmerman verdict on Facebook, which has since gone viral. Now, the overall message this whole Trayvon Martin case has taught me, you ain't the S word, is what Questlove wrote. And people are mad at him for saying that because he's on Jimmy Fallon. But the musician has written about his run-ins with the law and overzealous police officers in his memoirs, Mo Better Blues. He wrote memoirs, and he talked about his police harassment and all those other things. But in the world, according to Questlove, he just said, it just taught me that as a black person, you know, he wasn't anything. And Rachel Gentile, the 19-year-old friend of Trayvon Martin and the last person to speak to him minutes before he was shot and killed last year, hit back at those who made fun of her appearance and her speech. Did you hear about her?
Yeah.
You did hear about
her? I heard that she had some words for some people. And you know what? I say good for her.
Yeah, I sure did too. Now, the first one was Lolo Jones. She said, Lolo Jones, I thought of her as a joke. She was funny. She's a hater. To me, she's a hater. I had a whole, and she said she had just had a whole lot of haters during the whole trial. She added, for the other people, you can disrespect me and all that. It's not going to hurt me. I'm just adding you to the hater list. So she's not really, like, even going at them. She's saying she's seen it, she's heard about it, but there's nothing she can do about it. But Lolo Jones is crazy. That was Vanessa's girl.
She needs to sit down with
that one. Yeah, I don't know what her problem is. Yeah, because he can't break up with her. I know he's trying to. Okay. You can't just lose her now. You was all in love with her before. So they still together.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that technically that's not a black on black crime. We're just gonna tell you that right now. If that's if that's your girl, that's your girl. Just own her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, own it.
Exactly.
So to speak.
Well, whatever it is. Whatever it is.
yeah, whatever it is. Now, also, we had, I'm still laughing at that. Now, in our Uncle Ruckus Watch spotlight for Tavis Smiley, I want to say this. What George Zimmerman will probably be charged with is something that President Obama signed into law on October 28th, 2009. So for the people who can't get an education today about this, Tavis, it's public law number 11-84, if you want to look it up. The Matthew Shepard James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act. Now, what it says is it defines what a hate crime is, and it brings the Justice Department in. So in the Rodney King, there's a different civil rights legislation that they charge those officers with. They never use it with civilians, but President Obama, 2009, signed a Hate Crimes Prevention Act, which is going to allow them to prosecute Zimmerman. Now, here's what a hate crime is for those who don't know. A hate crime occurs when the perpetrator of a crime intentionally selects a victim because of who the victim is. Hate crime rend the fabric of our society, is what it says, and fragments communities because they target an entire community or group of people, not just an individual victim. So the Hate Crimes Prevention Act gives the Department of Justice the power to investigate, prosecute bias-motivated violence by providing the DOJ with jurisdiction over crimes of violence where the perpetrator has selected a victim because of the person's actual or perceived color, religion, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability. In addition, it provides the DOJ with the ability to aid states and local jurisdictions in investigations and prosecution of bias-motivated crimes of violence. So, since Florida didn't charge him with a hate crime because they couldn't, the Department of Justice can. And they admitted it in court that they selected him because of all the other crimes committed by black people. This one,
oh,
may
yeah,
be a little
when
bit
they
easy.
Brought that last, when they brought the last defense witness on, they sealed the deal with her. And looking back, they're probably wishing they hadn't done that. But they sealed the deal with her, and then in his closing argument, he all but admitted that yes, he was justified in profiling Trayvon because of his race, based on the race of the other people who had committed this rash of crimes, and I don't know where they get the rash of crimes from, but
right,
yeah,
right.
So
in a community that has 80% white folks, and their rash of crimes is the black people who live on the other side of town. They're pretty segregated, and more importantly, his father lived in that complex, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that black people shouldn't be there was crazy, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Oh, but well, you know what? Let's toss this in here real quick because you heard that there was a George Zimmerman sighting. Apparently, he done gone all super G and helping to pull people out of an overturned truck, came out of hiding in Sanford to pull people out of trucks now. Uh-huh.
I saw that, and I won't be surprised that in 2 months from now that 60 Minutes does a piece on how they set it up and kicked them out of the car and go help them. And then, because he's going to be getting kittens out of trees. Like, he's about to get prosecuted on a hate crime. So they need to say, well, since he's been out of jail, he helped the kitten. He plugged a hole in a basketball last week, like whatever it was. He sold Girl Scout cookies and he bought 2 dozen of them Thin Mints. Like, I don't care. That little girl was not going to get her bag.
Ate them all in one shot.
It ate them all. He didn't just buy them and throw them away. So his goodwill is not going to stop because of the bad will that he expressed. So look out for George Zimmerman selling oranges, flowers. He's just going to be a hustle man in a minute. So if they can pull off this and get good publicity, they may try something else. He's going to be a lifeguard. First of all, as a fake neighborhood watch guy, because technically he wasn't employed, like he wasn't on their team for neighborhood watch until after the fact, which was kind of interesting. They claimed him after, but they settled out of court for over $1 million because he technically wasn't neighborhood watch. He was just using their name. But the issue is that now they need to build credibility after he said he targeted a black man. And you know what would be interesting? Who did he pull out the wreck? And was there any black people in the other wreck? Like, that would be funny. No, I'm sorry, that wouldn't be funny. But, all right,
well, but I mean, it's definitely something to keep an eye on this story, because some things just aren't quite jiving.
Yeah, and it really doesn't. Now, we're going to move on to our Ray Don Chong, Whitney Houston. Not Whitney Houston, Oprah Winfrey. Why did I have Whitney on my head? Oprah Winfrey, black on black crime. But for Tavis, just to round this up, hate crime legislation was introduced in the House and Senate in 1997. It took 12 years. Congress passed various versions, but ultimately it was unsuccessful in advancing a bill to the president for signature. But the first year President Obama came in, he did it. So, if anything that, you know, you want to hate about the president didn't do for black folks or hate crime kind of stuff, he did that in October, and I think he was sworn in late January. And we had a financial crisis, but in October he signed a hate crime prevention act. Just want to share that. Now, I want to remind you, you're listening to the Black on Black Crime on S3 Radio. We're on the Ask Kathleen Network as well. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
If you're my best friend, I shouldn't have to ask you to lie for me. I shouldn't have to ask your permission for me to put you in my lot. You know why? Because you're my best friend. That's your job. The day that we sign up and say that we best friends, that means that my bullshit is your bullshit. And your bullshit is my bullshit. If you're my real best friend, you should know that I need you to lie for me by the look on my face. If I'm looking at you and I'm not blinking, if I'm like this, that's fine. That means the back drop on us. My back is against the wall. This is not a test. It's the real deal. Help me. Help me. Help me. Come in the house, right? Come in the house at like 4 in the morning. I'm drunk, people. I have no balance. I'm all over the place. I'm rocking back and forth. As soon as I walk in the house, she wakes up. She goes off. You know what? I'm sick of this. I know you're probably out with some. You're probably messing with some. Now I'm drunk. I don't want to respond because I don't have any balance. I'm rocking back and forth. You don't look believable when you're rocking back and forth. So I had to choose a stance in which I look believable. So I chose this. I said, let me tell you something. Listen to me. Wasn't nobody with no bitch, okay? You're wrong. Matter of fact, to prove you wrong, I'm going to call Harry. Harry not expecting me to call right now, so Harry don't have no reason to lie. And I'm going to put it on speakerphone. About to make you feel stupid. Watch. Watch this. I said, Harry. Harry. Real quick. Don't lie. Where are we coming from right now? He said, man, you was with that with the fat. What? Oh, no. No, 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 no. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Yo.
Thanks for joining in. Our topic is Ray Don Chong, actress Ray Don Chong, versus the mega media mogul, Oprah. We can stop this from that thing now, right?
I think we all know who she is.
Yeah, I don't have to say Winfrey, do I? It's just Oprah.
No. Oprah.
All right. Now, the former Color Purple co-stars, Radon Chong and Oprah. Radon Chong had an interview. She had a radio interview, and she kind of let loose on Oprah. Now, during a recent radio interview, she took the opportunity to, what they say, attack Oprah. Now, Color Purple was nearly 30 years ago. Chong said that Oprah was a big brown noser, and if you left her in a room, she'll pick the most powerful person and become friends with them. Now, she also said that the self-centered fat B-word would have been a house N-word back in slave days. Now, Radon Chong said that Oprah was lovely to her back on the set of Color Purple in 1985, but when Ray moved on to her next movie, Commando, she says Oprah became a total B-word. So she said that she just wasn't having her. She was competitive. She didn't like me, and she wasn't having me. Now, if you remember the timing, Oprah Winfrey's show really didn't get syndicated until 85, 86. So they both were new. So it wasn't like she was, you know, the big star Oprah at the time. Radon Chong actually had the bigger name. That's why they chose Radon Chong for Color Purple, by the way. So she had a bigger name than Oprah at the time. She said, if you look at it the way Oprah looks at it, she looks like, I don't know how she said this, she looks like 60 years ago she would have been a housekeeper, housekeeping if she's lucky, but she would not have been a house N-word, she would have been a field N-word if you look at her. Now, Radon Chong just kind of went in on her attacks, but, oh, well, before we go on with this, I have to ask you, Lavinia, first. Isn't it just a black-on-black crime that she's just unloading on Oprah? I don't care what her animosity is. Is this a black-on-black crime?
I'm actually a little bit upset that she went there. I'm not the biggest Oprah fan, but nobody deserves to get talked about like that. No, what was she drinking? Was she on something? Like, that doesn't seem like a regular conversation that somebody, like, she would have.
It really does.
On a radio show. Like, something isn't, what's the problem?
I don't know. I can just say this. Out of the things that were taken out, like, she says she's enormously insecure. If you want to look at Oprah to her most basic components, she wants to be beautiful kind of thing. Like, she just kept saying some things about Oprah that just seems like it was just mean, like it was just mean-spirited. So
yeah, she has a mean girl thing going on.
Yeah, she did. And she says no matter how vile she is, you kind of got to go. You got to say hats off to Oprah. She's done amazing things and shifted the DNA of the universe. Like, she gave her some compliments, but inside of those compliments, she said how much she didn't like Oprah. Now, Radon Chong released a video over the weekend on YouTube issuing sort of an apology, right? And the statement, it was kind of a statement clarifying her comments about Oprah. Now, she said she caused a giant S-storm. You can tell I don't curse that much, do you? Can't you? But a giant S-storm is what she said. She said it was kind of out of context is how TMZ in particular kind of took these comments. But if you listen just to the quotes, they are horrible quotes. I can't put them in context because I didn't listen to the whole radio show. I listened to some of it. She said, it is most unfortunate choice of words. I regret is what she said. But she says, do I take everything back that I said? She said no. She still didn't back away from what she said. But isn't that funny? That was kind of her apology. She said, yes, it was unfortunate choice of words, and she regretted it. But she meant what she said. She probably shouldn't have said it.
But let's take it out of context. She should have said it out loud.
Well, no.
That's
because,
what she said.
No, Wishy's egg was, she was saying some nice things about Oprah, but you won't really get that because the mean things she said about her was just kind of over the top. So you don't take the nice things as serious.
Well, yeah, you say that she wasn't even a bit. Well, okay, you insulted her, first of all, by busting out the N-word. And then you went on to call to say that, you know, she would have been she wouldn't even been a house N-word. She'd been a field N-word. It's like she just keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper. But you know what? She got the money, so she all good. I hate her, but she's all good.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Oprah did. I'm going to tell you right now, Oprah did something to her. Now, I don't know what it is. Yeah, because.
You know what?
Wait
a second. I wonder if during that Color Purple scene, if Oprah really did hit her. Because, you know, Bae Dawn Chung, she was one that was married to Harpo. You know?
Well, right.
Harpo, my man. You ain't nothing but a fat Harpo. And then that's when Oprah punched her. And
Oprah,
I wonder if maybe there was a real connection there.
Oprah took that offset because she said she was cool on the set, but after that she wasn't. So maybe it was the popularity of calling her a big old heifer. I don't know.
Heifer wasn't in the script. She shouldn't have ad-libbed.
She ad-libbed?
Living.
Oh, God. Hopefully that didn't do it. Now, here's a couple of internet comments, and the very first one actually says that. It said she had to consider the possibility that her comments being compared to "you ain't nothing but a big old heifer." she said, "No, did no one else hear that? Like that she was kind of making the same kind of comparison to Oprah because she was talking about her in the house spiel." Kind of says. Another one said her characterization of Oprah as a cheerleader, student body president, volunteer nurse, brown noser is someone successful, a striver. She threw in fat repeatedly, because I didn't read all of the comments, by the way. She threw in fat repeatedly to make it negative and more interesting, but it's really just jealousy at its finest, nothing shocking at all. And another comment says, well, I think she's very straightforward. She's a very straightforward person, talking about Bae Dawn Chung. She's just being honest with her thoughts and experiences with Oprah, painfully so. She gave Oprah big props for her achievements and said more than once that she respects her tremendously. Nothing she said was just in and out, vicious and mean spirited. Jeez, this is a nice comment about Bae Dawn.
Who said that?
I'm not gonna say their names unless you tell us that we can use your name on the show.
No, I'm just wondering. Wait a second.
Because this person didn't use
it. Are you sure Bae Dawn Chung didn't write that?
Yeah, but I'm not that sure. No, but the person said it wasn't very nice. Well, here's the end of the comment. The person said it just wasn't very nice. And nothing I hadn't heard before while sitting around talking with my girlfriends, being from Chicago, talking about Oprah is an ongoing combo. So I don't think that person, can't be Bae Dawn. I don't think she's from Chicago.
But that's okay. It's okay to not only say these things about her. Okay, I'm not saying that her feelings about Oprah are wrong. If that's what she feels, that's what she feels. But she went on radio.
She went on.
And said these things. Exactly.
Right,
so at some point you've got to, you got to hold back and say, okay, these are my feelings, this is my opinion, but to bust out with the fat this and brown nose and that and the house in this and the field in that, and I mean, but she's okay. Like, everything good that you could have possibly said at this point was totally negated by everything ugly that was put out there.
Oh, it sure was. You're right about
that. And
now,
that was hateful. That was absolutely hateful. Like, if somebody got on the radio and said that about you, even though those were their purest feelings about you, that would hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And especially coming from somebody,
yeah.
You're supposed to have these kind of experiences that you can kind of build upon and share. So I wouldn't want somebody calling me a house in or field in, and I'm supposed to be okay with that.
Yeah, that was flat personal. Whatever was going on with them is personal.
Oh,
Harpo. Now, another person said she was asking a question that was that she immediately said was not true, and then she corrected the interviewer by giving him details on her past relationship with Oprah. So she was kind of describing how she came to that conclusion of her being, you know, a brown noser and stuff. Because I think the interviewer was kind of baiting her, too. Like, you're on radio, so people don't really watch what they say, and you never expect to get picked up. So she just kind of went in, like, well, why would you say that? And it's like, well, this is what happened. So she kind of went in on her based upon. I didn't say she was baited. She grown, so she could do what she wants.
If that's what I was about to say, what is she, 50-something?
Yes. She has to be about 50. She's not 50.
Like,
she was in Beat Street, though, so I do remember that back in the...
She's at least 50,
she was teen actor at that age, right? So that was in the 80s. Before Color Purple, like I said, she was probably one of the biggest stars on Color Purple. Like, if you think of, like, movies when they try to bring in certain stars that are big stars, so you had Danny Glover and Whoopi Goldberg, who was pretty much the main star of it, right? The main characters. Raekwon Chong was brought in to give it a little bit more international diversity feel to it, like, because she was a bigger star at the time.
Okay, well, congratulations, but, you know, at your age, not your shoe size.
Oh,
so you didn't do the interview in the 80s, so this is what I'm
exactly. Now here's an interesting comment. Someone said Ms. Chong's opinion was filled with balance. I don't know where they saw that. And it should be noted that she was talking from a point of personal reference, her experience with Oprah, not some he said stuff. I don't know if we're still justifying this. I don't think our comments are coming in. Oh, go ahead.
I'm having a little bit of trouble with this. This is Black on Black Crime, right?
Yes. Go ahead.
Right? Can you please reiterate what Black on Black Crime is? Can we get that
Black
definition again? Because apparently people missing it.
Black on Black Crime is when you overtly focus, criticize, or analyze Black people in areas you won't consider anyone else. No matter what their race, no matter who they are, you just do that to Black people and not other people. So I can't say that.
I guarantee you, she would not have got, if she had a horrible, and I'm just guessing, and I'm pretty sure that if she had a terrible experience with somebody that was white, she wouldn't have gotten on that radio show.
That is my point, yeah.
Running off of them out the same way. And that's why I say that she gets a flag. She gets a citation. She gets thrown out the game.
What else can we do to her? Yeah. Well, she doesn't quite fit the Uncle Ruckus spotlight, but she went really hard on her.
I'm sorry. This is a federal offense.
Now, here's another comment. Someone said, wasn't she just on Oprah a few years ago for the Color Purple reunion? She was hugging O and smiling. Come on, this is so ratchet. Now, so whoever wrote this just kind of thought. And she was on the Color Purple reunion, and she was hugging Oprah. She was playing nice with her. So I don't know if she hates Oprah. She don't like Oprah, but I don't know. All right. So, I think we both can agree that is definitely a black on black crime. She wouldn't have done that. Let me think of a. I'm sorry. This is just a quick revelation. You know that during Color Purple in 95 or in 85, Raekwon Chong went on to do Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger. But in 85, Oprah was friends with Maria Shriver. They worked in the news in Baltimore. So there may be something to the Arnold Schwarzenegger-Maria Shriver thing there, too, like for why Oprah had a little issue with her later on in life. Because it wasn't during the Color Purple, but it happened to be later. So I wonder if that played into taking sides one way or another on their close friend somehow. Either way, it's just wrong.
Inexcusable.
Okay, now, although we both agree this is a black-on-black crime on Radon Chan's side, I'm going to try not to make one on this one. Because Oprah is in the news. So Oprah recently announced that she is doing an 8-part reality series with Lindsay Lohan and paying her $2 million for an in-depth look into her lifestyle. For exclusive rights and interviews for Lindsay Lohan. Now, Oprah could have did that with anybody else, but she's going to give Lindsay Lohan $2 million? That's just me. I would criticize anybody who gives Lindsay Lohan $2 million. Knowing what she's going to do with it. I'm just joking. You know what she's going to do with it. I'm sorry. That's just not a black-on-black crime for this show. All right. Just wanted to share that.
That's just ridiculous.
Hey. Right. You know, and so as OWN's ratings have gone up with the little crazy show, I won't bash, what's his name, Tyler Perry in the middle of all of this. But her ratings have gone up with the new show. You said don't.
No, I'm saying God bless them. I tell you, their ratings didn't go up because of me. That's for sure. I didn't help the numbers. I tried, but I couldn't hang in there.
Yeah, well, yeah, those shows wasn't. I can't say them. Well, again, maybe they just weren't appealing to me. They weren't supposed to be. Maybe I'm not their target audience. So I'll have to ask the target audience for Oprah to see if that was okay. But you didn't like it because I think you were a target.
Yeah, I was
surprised.
It fell flat.
Well, their ratings are up a little bit, but we'll come back with some more entertainment news because we're done with them. Black on black crime on Radon Chan on this one. So I think we agree, right?
Mm-hmm. It's flag,
okay.
Citation. Get out of the game.
And
throw out the game, throw out of court.
There you go. All right, so we'll be back. You're listening to the Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us. We'll be back after this message.
What's the biggest number you can think of?
A trillion, billion, zillion.
That's pretty big. How about you?
10.
Okay. How about you?
Infinity.
Can you top that?
Infinity and one.
Actually, we are looking for infinity plus infinity. Sorry.
What about infinity times infinity?
It's not complicated. Bigger is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
This is about moving forward by looking back. And 90 years of doing what others are not. It's about open-mindedness to the way things open. And setting precedents. President. It's shifting the concept of shifting. It's about finding inspiration in the unexpected and people of means who have found meaning in it. This is about marching to the beat of a different drum and being an audiophile's dream within a dream. This is about making genius look simple and making noise by being quiet. It's about big ideas with smaller footprints and seeing more of the world because there's so much world to see. This is about going places others aren't. Introducing the Lincoln Motor Company.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step 1. Gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good.
Step 2. Keep those legs strong. And step 3. Don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Look at these pictures. Okay, your hair was so beautiful last night. What did you do?
I stopped using heat. So I set my hair with wraps that move. It makes my hair look so rich. And then I finish with glossy polisher so I don't frizz on the dance floor. And I'm good to go.
It's still looking good today.
Well, we all look good.
Yeah. Ladies, we had a blast.
Yeah.
Organic Root Stimulator, nature's secret to healthier style hair.
You're white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the Bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your whites to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your whites back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
Back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, hanging out with Lavinia today. You can call in, join us, 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. We are going to go into some entertainment news because, you know, that last topic, I think we were pretty much set, opposed to Oprah's crime on giving Lindsay Lohan $2 million. But since that's not a black-on-black crime, she gets to have a pass on that one. We can't even judge her, can we?
It's a crime of another kind.
we're going to have to pass some kind of new statute for that one, because that's kind of an ambiguous kind of crime. All right. So, Daniel will be around probably next week to do his review on Fruitvale Station. Now, that movie was expanded from the 7 theaters last week to 34 screens this weekend. Now, it's not even scheduled for nationwide release until the 26th, but over the weekend it made $742,000 and that's what it's grossed to date. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what it made this weekend. And to date, it made $1,334,000. So with an average screen making $21,824, the film is the highest per screen average of any film currently playing. That is good for them.
Yeah. Impressive.
Yeah. Yep. And their nationwide release is not till the 26th, so go check that out, and we'll post a review on that movie. I didn't see it. It has the resemblance to much of the Trayvon Martin thing of, well, the policeman shot the kid getting off the train. That was caught on video. So we're not going to talk about that. Now, CBS has passed on the Beverly Hills Cop TV series. It was starring Brandon T. Jackson, starring as Axel Foley, Eddie Murphy's son. The pilot tested well, but Paramount believes that Beverly Hills Cop movie would be a good idea and has begun development. So since it tested so well and but didn't get picked up as a pilot, they're going to do another Beverly Hills Cop movie. Lavinia, you down?
I don't know.
Because they messed up a couple of them, didn't they?
Yeah, when you start... I don't know, when you start bringing in the sequels like 20 years later and then 25 years later, and then you've got The Son is now, nah.
But let me tell you this. I used to think that until I realized how long they were shooting those Indiana Joneses in between. I was like, geez. Like from one Indiana Jones to the next one, and there's what, about five or six of them? They were taking a good 6-7 years in between them. But
we see, I mean, you already have in your mind Axel Foley. Eddie Murphy is Axel Foley. So when I see Beverly Hills Cops, I'm going to be expecting Axel Foley, or at least as close, Eddie Murphy. You know, I want the sitting image of him acting the same way, doing the same things. I'm not sure that at this point you can put a replacement and say, oh, yeah, that's his son. I don't know.
Right, because in the TV show, you know, Eddie Murphy was going to play his old character, but his son, and I don't know how funny Brandon Jackson is, not sure. But for me, We're just going to critique this. It's not a black-on-black crime. We're just kind of saying what we prefer. But for me, you know, maybe 10 years ago, Chris Tucker could have played Axel Foley. Like, he played it pretty much. He played Axel Foley in what's the – Rush Hour.
Rush Hour.
Pretty much. That's pretty much what he played. But you could have used somebody like him or – I don't know. Dave Chappelle can't really play a cop. I wouldn't. He's not believable. But you know what I mean. Like, you,
if he can pull off being as much like Axel Foley, as much, if he can do that, then I could see it working. But if not, I think a lot of us who watched it and you know loved it, we're not gonna.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
You would still, but you would have to bring in somebody funny for Axel Foley, not his son. Like his son would be, what, he'd be the straight guy. Like, you know what I mean? It's always weird when you bring in predecessors.
Okay.
Like again, go ahead.
What's the name? Martin Lawrence. When he came out with Big Mama, the first one, you know, Martin Lawrence is crazy, he's funny. But then they came out with the other one, and his son was with
exactly.
And I couldn't get into it at all.
So, here's the coincidence. I'm glad you mentioned that because Brandon Jackson played his son in Big Mama's House, like in that Big Mama series. That's the same kid. So now he's going to play Eddie Murphy's son. Yes.
Oh, well, then my mind's made up. No, I'm not going to watch it. I'll go to Netflix.
That's what I said.
I will get
he's not going to be the funny guy.
You can't.
I mean, yeah, you can.
Oh,
yeah.
Was that a black-on-black crime? It's what? No.
Nope.
I'm not trying to criticize him. I'm just saying that as a fan of the original, I'm not sure that I don't think that I would be able to buy into this sequel. But it read well. It's not meant for me, I guess. Maybe I'm not the target, like you said about you know the other shows on OWN. I'm not the target.
Well, yeah, you're the target for the OWN ones, but I don't know about this one. Like the cop. Buddy movie stuff. I mean, it's supposed to be funny, so I don't.
Well,
yeah,
like
I don't,
funny,
I don't,
but I'm just saying maybe I'm not. Maybe it's for the younger crowd who, you know, because you figure Eddie was
who don't
big.
Like funny.
I mean, like, no, I'm just saying. But you know, every generation seems to have their big comic. You know, you had Richard Pryor, then you had Eddie Murphy.
But they all were funny.
Chris Tucker. Everybody was just, you know, you have a time when everybody's big. So maybe this young Brandon Jackson guy is going to be their guy.
Okay.
It's not us.
Let me tell you. I'm saying as a kid, I don't. Funny is funny. As a kid, when they were playing them old Red Fox is funny. And then even when I watched the old Richard Pryor, Richard Pryor's funny. So around my age, I guess, would be kind of like Eddie Murphy coming into Saturday Night Live stuff. I was little, but still, that was funny. So no matter when Chris Rock came on after, he was funny. I think funny is funny, but you can't fake the funny. You can't force that on people to make you believe that a comic in any generation is funny when they're not. Like, I think they kind of touch a nerve across the board when you're funny. So Brandon Jackson, I don't know if he can pull this off. Now, TV One, their investigation docuseries called Celebrity Crime Files returns Monday, August 5th, 9 p.m. For their second season, they probe into some of the – I'm not really big on actual crime stories. I know it's a black-on-black crime, but it's just a joke. We don't like really crime stories on here. But – Celebrity Crime Files kind of goes through infamous scandals surrounding prominent figures in entertainment. So entertainment, sports, politics. Now, their new shows, Michael Jackson, Notorious B.I.G., Bumpy Johnson, Kwame Kilpatrick, Scott LaRock, Ruben Hurricane Carter, just to name a few. I may have to watch those. And I don't really like celebrity crime stuff, but I may watch those. It just seemed pretty interesting. All right, so okay. Now here is one. Now this is not a black crime, but I would really like to discuss whether we can include this. We might need a new category. But Harvey Weinstein, the Weinstein Company, put in. I mean, they do a lot of movies, but they're doing the Butler, right? So the Weinstein Company recently did, I guess they own, I can't think of what movies, I'm drawing a blank with them, but they do a lot. Haunted Mansion, a Haunted House that the Weinsteins, I think, did that. But they enlisted the help of civil rights leaders, compromise of Jesse Jackson, the NAACP president and CEO, Ben Jealous, national chairman of the Congress of Racial Equity, Roy Ennis, who's a joke. I'm sorry, did I say that loud? In the fight against Warner Brothers. Now, they are fighting Warner Brothers over this title, The Butler, but they call civil rights people in. Now, the Weinstein Company is not a black company at all, but the ruling agency, the MPAA, that you register your titles for movies with, well, the Weinstein Company used some variations of the word The Butler for the title, but Warner Brothers is suing them for it. Now they're changing the name. They lost the ruling, and now they have to change it to Lee, like Tyler Perry presents. It has to be Lee Daniels, The Butler. So the Weinstein Company, again, I don't know why they called in Jesse Jackson or the NAACP or this cat, Roy Ennis, who was crazy. I don't know why they called them in, but doesn't that seem like that they were just using the race card just because they were doing that? Now, I never say the word the race card, but that just seems kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't quite get that.
Yeah, I don't get it. Now, the...
ain't a bit much.
It's a weird story. Now, what happened was the Weinstein Company, well, first of all, their spokesman, Danny Weinstein, I guess their daughter, said that we are thrilled that Lee Daniels, the butler, we are now Lee Daniels, the butler, and we are thrilled. Now, that was their cover. So the Weinstein Company have to pay a fine of $25,000 a day dating back to July 2nd, or $400,000 for violating its initial ruling and face stiffer penalties if it refuses to change its marketing campaign. Now, the fine will increase to $50,000 a day if the studio fails to issue a new digital material like trailers or TV ads by July 26th and a new print ad by August 2nd. The Weinstein Company also have to pay $100,000 to the entertainment industry foundation and up to $150,000 to cover Warner Brothers legal fees. Now, okay, again, all of this is because, get this, Warner Brothers and the Weinstein Company has been fighting over The Hobbit. So the something is what they're fighting over. So The Hobbit, the Weinstein Company attained the rights to it years ago when Bob Weinstein and his brother Harvey had early ownership of Lord of the Rings. So both of the Weinsteins owned 2.5% of the over $1 billion The Hobbit made worldwide. And due to the rights of the deal that they made, you know, a while ago, they are getting royalties from it. Warner Brothers want them to give up some of their royalties, so they sued them for The Butler. That seems like in white folks fighting news. Like that's like a rich person.
That's what I was about to say, because I'm like, that don't seem like that affects my financial situation any. So we'll go ahead and let them hash that out.
Exactly. And so here, again, the reason I brought the story, because they called civil rights leaders. Are they just devaluing civil rights people? I know the criticism is always, why Jesse Jackson is always getting involved and why this person is getting involved. They called them.
I'm sorry. Is this yet another person that has Jesse on his speed dial? Because we know about the Jesse speed dial.
Is Jesse number listed? I just really
first
need to know
caller,
that.
Now these people, Lord have mercy. Jesse.
I don't know.
Popular.
I don't have Jesse's number, but I'm not saying I'm looking
for
it.
Wait a second.
But,
okay, so you know what? I was just about to commit a black on black crime.
What were you gonna do?
I'm not gonna do it.
Go ahead.
Weinstein, right?
Uh-huh.
You know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
That sounds like a Jewish last name.
It is.
Did they know about Jesse's Hymietown reference before they called him?
But again, I'm sure they did. But the point was is that they were trying to play the butler, which I don't know if you remember last week's show. We talked about the butler, and that was a part of the black on black crime for last week because, I'm trying to think of the guy's. I always forget his name. The guy who our main topic was about last week.
Oh
is
yeah, the guy
the
that
actor,
was mad about it and didn't want the role.
Yeah,
and,
Harry
yeah,
Linnick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his thing about the butler was that they were making it too lowbrow for him. Like they were kind of just because he was the butler didn't mean he was uneducated, or just because he was the butler didn't mean that it just was probably a good job to be the president's butler, right? And so you don't ever question the jobs of butlers and maintenance people who actually work at the White House, because I don't think you can really be just a good person that knows the difference between Armin Hammer and what do you call it, spick and span. I don't think you just know that stuff. I think you probably are smart. But so the criticism over Lee Daniels on our last show, you can check it out in the archives, solasyracuse.com/BOBC. But I think a part of that was them saying, all right, first of all, the Weinsteins are already beat down the movies so much that it looks like a minstrel show, kind of is what he was saying. No, that's what he was saying, though. He said it was a good, it was well written or something, but he was just saying it was lowbrow. Now the Weinsteins called Jesse Jackson in to defend the lowbrow movie. Something gelling well. I figure a black-on-black crime is coming for next, after this thing gets released. We're just going to have to see some of the comments on this. I don't know. Do you see that coming? Or is that just me?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Maybe I missed. Yeah, no, you must have had me on mute. I said, did you see that coming, or was that just me?
Yeah, something.
Something right about that
month. That whole situation. Call Jesse. Jesse is becoming everybody. Ambassador and all things related to black people, whether it's a movie or you running around abusing your employees, Jesse has now become the man to call. I don't know why.
Hey. Yeah,
and he's taking
the
calls.
Why.
That's the thing that's letting me.
Well, not only is he taking the calls, he's running out in front of Now, Jesse never said anything about it, but the release was that the Weinsteins, again, they might have threw Jesse under the bus on this one, but they said that they called them together. Don't trust the Weinsteins, people. Don't trust the Weinsteins. No, I'm just joking. Oh.
You're going to be used as a shield.
Now, wait. And by the way, the Weinsteins are the company that Ice Cube yelled about. And he called them racist and crazy. He had a movie come out. They filed bankruptcy or something. And then they told Ice Cube that he could sell it to another company. And when he went to do it, the Weinsteins released it on DVD. Behind his back. Ice Cube.
He's going to use you as a shield. Don't take that call.
Okay. I was going to say, next time, ask Ice Cube when you deal with the Weinsteins, because I think he had something to say about that. So I just wanted to share. All right. Thanks for tuning in to Black on Black Crime. Lavinia, just thanks for hanging out and making some noise. I know I took you away for the whole day. You're usually just tearing up in the chat room, so I took you out of the chat room today.
Hey, I had fun.
Oh, cool. Well, you need to make sure you join in and hang out with us a little bit more often.
Will do.
Okay. All right. You can check us out on Esprit Radio every Monday, 2 p.m., Black on Black Crime. Who knows what we're going to have next week? Some other stories on. Hopefully, Lavinia will be here with Daniel and Kathleen. Our commissioner is also missing. I don't know what happened to the commissioner today, but we'll have them on. And like I said, we'll have some other things to talk about. So I want to thank you for tuning in and remind you, hey, check back with us. Write us during the week at espreeradio.solarsyracuse.com or bobc@solarsyracuse.com. We'll check you out then. Later, girl.
See ya.